Chapter 18. The Letter. On Tuesday, Catherine finally received a 5-page letter from Morris. The letter was written in Philadelphia, and it explained that he would be away on business for a long time. He said that he did not want to come between her and her fortune, and that he would never forget her. He wanted her to have a peaceful and happy life, and he hoped that one day they would meet as friends. The letter caused poor Catherine an immense and long-lasting pain. She was too proud to say anything about it to her father or her aunt. Her father waited a week before walking into the back parlor and saying,
"I would like to know when you plan to leave this house."
Catherine looked up at him with a long, silent gaze and said,
"I shall not go away."
The doctor raised his eyebrows and asked,
"Has he left you?"
"I have broken off the engagement."
"Broken it off?"
"I have asked him to leave New York, and he has gone away for a long time."
The doctor was both puzzled and disappointed. He lost his chance to say that he had been right. However, he did not believe what Catherine had said.
"How does he like your dismissal?"
"I don't know,"
said Catherine.
"You mean you don't care? You are rather cruel, after encouraging him and playing with him for so long."
The doctor had his revenge, after all. As time went on, the truth about the end of Catherine's engagement remained a closely guarded secret. She had suffered tremendously, but the doctor did not know about it. He was certainly curious to learn the truth, but he never knew it. This was his punishment for having been so very sarcastic with his daughter.
"I'm very glad that Catherine did not marry him,"
Mrs. Almond said to her brother.
"However, I wish you would be more gentle with her. Surely you feel sorry for her."
"No, I don't. She was lucky to get out of it. Actually, I suspect that she has not given him up at all. I think there is an arrangement between them. When I am dead, he will return, and then they will marry."
"You accuse your daughter of being the worst of hypocrites,"
said Mrs. Almond. The years passed, and Catherine received 2 offers of marriage. She refused a widower with 3 little girls and a clever young lawyer who was seriously in love with her. The name Morris Townsend was never mentioned at Washington Square, but Dr. Sloper still suspected that Catherine was secretly waiting for him. Catherine had become an admirable old maid. She formed habits and dedicated many of her days to charitable institutions. The 2 great facts of her life were that Morris Townsend had played with her heart, and that her feelings toward her father would never be what they had been when she was younger. There was something dead in her life, and her duty was to fill the void. She had at last become a greatly liked figure at all respectable parties and dinners. Dr. Sloper slowly retired from his profession. He went to Europe again with Catherine and Mrs. Penniman, and remained there 2 years. One day after his return from Europe, the doctor said something to his daughter that surprised her greatly.
"I would like you to promise me something before I die."
"Why do you talk about your death?"
she asked.
"Because I am 68 years old, and one day I shall die. Promise me not to marry Morris Townsend after I am gone."
For a few minutes, she said nothing.
"Why do you speak of him?"
she asked at last.
"He has been to New York recently, and at your cousin Marion's house. Your Aunt Elizabeth tells me that he is looking for another wife, although I don't know what happened to the first one. He has grown fat and bald, and has not made his fortune."
The words "fat and bald" presented a strange image to Catherine, who still remembered him as the most beautiful young man in the world.
"I don't think you understand,"
she said.
"I very rarely think of Mr. Townsend, but I can't promise that."
The doctor was silent for a minute.
"I ask you for a particular reason. I am changing my will."
Catherine had been so humble in her youth, but now she had a little pride, and there was something in her father's request that injured her dignity.
"I can't promise,"
she simply repeated.
"You are very obstinate. I had no idea how obstinate you are."
She knew that she was obstinate, and it gave her a certain joy. She was now a middle-aged woman.